good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. I'm going to open us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for each person that's here. I'm thankful, Lord, that we can lift your name in praises and hear your word. I pray, Lord, that as we move into this this next week with all the hustle and bustle of Christmas and everything that goes along with it, Lord, that we do take time to truly remember exactly what this season is all about. And it's to worship and glorify you and celebrate the fact that you came to this earth. So I pray now, Lord, that as we spend time in your word, that it would help us to be the Christians that you desire us to be so the world could see your light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're continuing in our Christmas series, Christmas To-Do List, and in this we're dealing with topics of what Christians should be doing at Christmas time, but really all year long. This is what we should be doing all year long. And today, from James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, we're going to learn that Christians should be wise. Okay, Christians should be wise. Now, the first thing we need to do is understand where true wisdom comes from. Now, there's many places we look to find wisdom. We look to educational institutions. We look to people around us. We might look to the internet. We might look to the church. We might look within ourselves. And God knows that we do things like this. So in today's passage, which is inspired, obviously, by the Holy Spirit, James teaches us and contrasts wisdom from above and wisdom from below. So the wisdom from above shows us where true wisdom comes. And when we find that wisdom, the benefit will be peace. And we all want a degree of peace in our lives. So here's what happens. He starts off in James 3:13 with a context clue. He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." So if you're looking for a wise person, if you're wondering who is wise among us? If we're looking for a wise person, what you want to do is you want to look for the person that has good conduct and good works. Like we talked about 2 weeks ago, Barnabas, remember, he was described as a good person. And meek here, obviously meek is quiet, gentle, and submissive. So in meekness, they're displaying wisdom because they're doing good things. Now, just to remind you, good works do not save a person. Okay, if you're here each week, you probably know that by now. But if you're not, maybe you don't. Maybe you think being a good person is what saves you. But the gospel tells us that we are all sinners, no one is righteous, and we need a savior. Jesus is that savior. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Jesus rose from the grave to prove that he is God. And Jesus said, all who believe will have eternal life. So faith in Jesus is what saves us. But then Ephesians 2:10 tells us this. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So basically, the call of the Christian, once you're saved, is to do good works. And God has those good works prepared beforehand for you, and you're supposed to walk in them. That's what Ephesians tells us. In fact, the entire book of James is reminding us that when we have faith in Jesus, the results should be good works, and others will actually see that. And that's part of really our big idea with this Christmas to-do list. We want other people to see the light that we have in Jesus, and part of the way that we do that is by doing good. So now the context clue here, if you're looking for someone that is wise, James wants his readers to realize if you're looking for true wisdom, look to what the follower of Jesus is doing. Look to what the true Christian is following. You can find a true believer by the works that they do. Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, some of you might remember this. He says, you will know them by their fruits. Okay, so if you're wondering, is this a Christian person? Well, look at their life. Only God can judge our heart. We don't know people's hearts, but when you look at the lives of the people around you, if good is flowing out, you can say, okay, Is there something going on here? Is this person a believer? So now James goes on to describe the opposite of good conduct. And he goes on and says this. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. So I'm going to call this second wisdom, wisdom from below, because it does not come from above. It does not come from God. It comes from below, earthly, or in this case, even he says demonic. Now, this passage tells us where this type of wisdom comes from. It's earthly, unspiritual, and demonic wisdom. This type of wisdom is taught by how people act, and it's actually foolishness. Our conduct shows our work. The human sinful nature is inherently unspiritual, does not want to follow God. So what I want to do is I want to use this verse to show the progression of this wisdom from below, this earthly, unspiritual, demonic wisdom. He starts off and says, bitter jealousy. Now, this is, I want what someone else has. Maybe possessions, maybe position. The culture does a great job in tempting us to this jealousy, doesn't it? Rich, famous, successful people are important, right? But moderate income people, not famous people, not successful people, not so important, right? That's how our culture is kind of designed. Notice he says bitter. That means angry, hurt, full of resentment. If you're not careful, you can become bitter because you live in a culture that says you're not important because of your socioeconomic status. That can make you fall into jealousy. So when bitter jealousy takes root, here's what it leads to. Selfish ambition. In order to get what I want, I have to put myself first. In order to get what I want, I have to put myself first. I want, so I have to make this happen. I want more because more seems better. I want more because people will think more highly of me. I want to be first. Remember, the disciples struggle with this, and on two occasions in Luke 9 and Luke 22, the disciples argued, who is the greatest? Okay, this is what they argued about. Who is the greatest? Jesus' answer in both cases was the one that becomes the least, or in other words, the selfless one is greater than the selfish one. The one that's willing to serve, the one that's willing to put their own needs and their own desires aside for the needs and desires of other people, for the needs and desires of what God wants us to do. So the progression is this. It continues because we are selfish and we get what we want. When we're selfish and we get what we want, it leads to boasting. When I get a little of what I want, I make sure others know about it. I have, I am, I achieved. Now think about this for a minute. Our culture is very broken, okay? Our culture is very broken. Social media has made boasting acceptable. Would you agree with that? Social media has made boasting acceptable. Self-promotion, look at me, look at what I have, look at what I accomplish, or look how amazing I am. How do we know that people think this is acceptable? How do we know? Like, right? Okay, they like it. It's acceptable now. I boasted and someone liked it. Our culture is giving us a platform to boast. It validates our boast because we get pleasure out of people liking our boast, which leads to lying or false to the truth. Maybe you're lying to yourself. I'm not boasting. I don't want to be important. I don't want people to praise me. Or maybe you're lying to yourself thinking all the good things in your life are because of you. And this is where it gets deeper. I've accomplished, I have, I do this, I'm smarter, I'm better, I'm this. Well, James 1:17 actually says every good and perfect gift comes from where? Above. You. No, I mean above, right? So obviously we know what the scriptures teach. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes from the Father. You may be lying to others to get what you want. we're in the position you want to be in. In this verse, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. If it doesn't come from above, it must come from below. So now James goes on into what happens when this type of self-centered, unspiritual type of wisdom from below is practiced. Goes on and says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. So the fruit is disorder, every vile practice. When you follow wisdom from below, it causes problems. Problems in your own personal life, guilt, being unfulfilled, looking for purpose in things that can never give you real purpose. In the context that James was writing, the problems were interpersonal among people in the church, and it was causing disorder and vile practices. There was no peace amongst the people. When that happens in a church, the people lose focus of what the real purpose of the church is, because they are bad examples of conflict resolution to the people around them. So let me just say this. We are a church made up of many different people. With that comes differing opinions, and it's easy to get caught up in thinking your opinion is the best or the only opinion, and other people should bow down to your opinion. So I'll warn you, if your opinion is not rooted in biblical truth, it's just what? Your opinion, right? So here's what will happen. You can cause dissension and disorder if you're too loud about your opinion. This passage teaches us the reason why. It's wisdom from below. Okay? It's earthly, unspiritual. In some cases, demonic. And guess what? Satan does want to attack the church. There's no doubt about it. Now, the role of the church leaders is to make sure we do not fall victim to wisdom from below and keep our focus and attention on what James calls wisdom from above, wisdom from heaven. So it says this, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. So I'm going to briefly go over all these things. Wisdom from above is pure. God's wisdom leads to purity and holiness. When we do the right thing, we know that we are pure before the Lord in that situation. It may not always turn out great. I mean, some of you know this. I did the right thing, but it didn't turn out as good as I thought it was going to be. But guess what? You still did the right thing. When we do the right thing, that is what we are accountable for. Before God, we are innocent in the situation. It doesn't matter if the other people are doing the wrong thing against us. If we're doing the right thing back, you're accountable for what your actions are. Wisdom from above is peaceable. If you truly want to be at peace with others, seek wisdom from God. Romans 12:18, I quote this verse often. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. You know what that's saying? As far as it depends on you. I know that this week you're going to sit with people that you might not have some peace with, right? But as far as it depends on you, you're going to do the right thing. I believe that you're going to do the right thing because you love Jesus and you want to please him. So if they say something mean or if they say something ridiculous, you're going to let it pass, right? And you're going to be like, pass the mashed potatoes and, let's eat, okay? And let's just celebrate together. See, we know that Jesus wants us to have peace in this life. He said so. In John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives you. Not that as the world gives, do I give to you. We have peace with God through the gospel message, right? But the world or the wisdom from below gives us a false sense of peace or no peace at all. But in Jesus, there's true peace. Wisdom from above is gentle. The gentle person thinks before they act and say things. Just because someone does not agree with them or does things they don't agree with, the gentle person still considers their feelings. I know there's probably people in your life that you don't agree with them. You don't agree with their life. You don't agree with their lifestyle. You don't agree with whatever they're doing or whatever they're believing. You still have to consider their feelings and be gentle with them.
and regard them as a person that is created in the image of God. They might not be a child of God yet because they haven't trusted in Jesus, but they're created in the image of God. And God does not desire to harm them, and nor should you, by the things that you say. In our culture, people are treated harshly because of their opinions and beliefs. But Jesus didn't treat people in harsh ways. He was gentle with them. In fact, the only people that you can say that Jesus treated harshly were the people that he confronted, and those were the religious leaders that were the hypocrites that thought they knew everything. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with what? Gentleness and respect. This verse is talking about how you respond to unbelievers when they do things like criticize your faith. It says, make a defense. They're operating in wisdom from below, so they're going to display characteristics of that wisdom that we talked about. Remember, bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, boasting, false, lying to the truth. They might think they're so much better than you. You are a simple-minded Christian, and they're so much better. Well, guess what? They might think that. They might believe that. But the truth of the matter is the way you're going to respond to them is with gentleness and respect, even if they're disrespectful towards you. It's difficult to maintain our composure sometimes, though, isn't it? When people are acting like that towards us. And Peter says here, gentleness and respect is necessary. We need to be gentle with our fellow believers as well to have peace with them. This will show that you are being wise. So this brings us to our next point, open to reason. The idea is hearing people out. We shouldn't have a problem with hearing about the beliefs of other people. We shouldn't have a problem with hearing about their opinions or the philosophies of other people because we know what the truth is. Okay, so I don't have a problem when people are spouting out what their belief system, their philosophies on life are, the wisdom from below. I don't have a problem with that because I know what the truth is. We shouldn't have a problem with hearing their perspective because here's what it does. Maybe we're going to learn a little something about them and try to understand better and be more effective when we're speaking to them. I'm not saying we're going to learn about their perspectives so we can put them into our life. I'm saying we're going to learn about their perspectives, why they believe these things, so we can understand them, so then we can interact with them. Do you know when you're witnessing to people, when you're telling people about the Lord, I would hope that each person in your life you talk to just a little bit different. You talk to just a little, it's like some people are hung up on the fact that they believe that, you know, this is all by chance and there is no God. And some people believe there is a God, but you can't know who he is. So you're going to talk to those people in different ways, right? You're going to talk to the person that believes there is a God, but we can't know who he is. Then you're going to bring them to the prophecies and stuff about Christ and talk to them about that. The person that believes we're here by chance, you're going to bring them to the creation story and show them about how God was the one who initiated all this. You're going to talk to them in different ways, but you need to be open to reason. Unfortunately, Christians have a reputation for being unreasonable, and the funny thing is, it rarely centers around the gospel. It normally centers around these two things, political and social views, and this is where we divide. And our country is doing a great job continuing to divide us. And you and I both have people in our lives that think that we believe certain things that we don't even believe. Like, have you ever asked me? Have you ever talked to me about this? Now, in Acts chapter 17, Paul went to the religious center and reasoned with people from the scriptures. He reasoned. These were all the people in their togas hanging around, like thinking they're smart, right? And Paul went in and he said, let's reason. But you know what he used? The scriptures. Like our scripture said, our scripture reading this morning, Isaiah 1:8, it's the Lord saying, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. You know what I love about this verse? It's interesting. The Lord says, come, let us reason together. We are worth his time. The Lord's going to reason with me. I'm not reasonable in comparison to the Lord, and neither are you. But the Lord says, Mike is worth something. Come, let's reason together. I want to show you that you have sinned. But I want to show you that I'm going to forgive your sin. I'm going to show you that I'm going to wash it away. We should be willing to reason with other people. Why? Because they're worth our time. You know, the culture has made it like this. Oh, these people are over here, and we're over here. They're not worth it. I don't even care. And we've obviously seen in our culture over the last months, it's to the point of where somebody gets killed, and then other people are like, I don't even care, because they didn't believe like I believe, or their opinion was not like my opinion. How sad is that? People are worth our time. And you know how I know that? Because God says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are red like scarlet, I can make them white as snow. If they're worth something to God, they should be worth something to us. Remember, we can't get annoyed and refuse to be open to reason with people because they don't accept the truth. Jesus is the truth. Try to avoid the temptation of getting angry because people will argue with us at times. That's why we have to remember what the passage says next. Wisdom from above is full of mercy. We should be full of mercy towards others. And some say, well, they don't deserve it. Well, that's mercy, right? Okay? That's mercy. There are going to be people in our lives that we feel like we don't they don't deserve to be treated well. They don't deserve forgiveness. They don't deserve the benefit of doubt. They don't deserve anything good. But that's where mercy comes in. Now, let me say this one caveat. This does not mean you let people abuse you. You don't let people walk all over you. And sometimes there's situations where you can't keep toxic people in your lives. And I know all of you deal with different family and friends. So you might have somebody that's very toxic, and maybe for a time you need to step back. But it means this. We keep mercy in the forefront of our mind when dealing with the people around us. This will show that we are acting in God's wisdom, not the world's wisdom. Next, wisdom from above is full of good fruit, meaning good things come out of following God's wisdom. Conflict can be avoided, issues and problems can be solved. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23, we learned the fruits of the Holy Spirit are, and when we apply them, guess what? It shows that we're wise. Wise in God's eyes. Maybe not wise in the world's eyes, but wise in God's eyes. But I can assure you of this. When you display those fruits, here's what's going to happen. It's going to communicate wisdom to the people around you. Next, wisdom from above is impartial. As defined, impartial as defined is treating all rivals or disputants equally, fair and just. This is counterculture again. The world's wisdom is if someone has a differing opinion, they're crazy or dumb. But wisdom from above tells us to treat them well. To treat them well. As believers, be sincere. Sincerity is being open and honest, speaking the truth in love. Conflicts can be solved or avoided when we're honest. They can't be solved or avoided if we're not honest with one another. In our honesty, we must show other people love. See, when we act in this way, the wisdom of the above, here is the result. This is our final verse. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. When we practice wisdom from heaven, guess what? We're going to be agents of peace in this world. So in some senses, it's not just be wise, but it's also be peaceful. Okay? We're going to be agents of peace in this world. So as believers, we should be wise, and that wisdom actually comes from above. We draw from that. We draw from what God says. I'll say this again. I've said it so many times. You need to be in the Word. We're coming up on a new year, right? We have tons of resources to help you to get into the Word on a daily basis. January 1st is coming. I'm not a big New Year's resolution guy, but it's a great starting point. Because the more you're in his word, guess what? You're going to find out his wisdom. not making this stuff up. I'm grabbing it from what God has to say. So today, as we observe communion, I want to point out that the way that God, in his wisdom, saw fit to make peace with us was having compassion on us. His son going to the cross in our place for our sins. Come, let us reason together. You sinner, I want you in my family. That's what God is saying. So when we observe communion, he's saying, I want you in my family so much so that I'm going to die in your place for your sins. So when we observe communion, we're remembering that. Jesus gave up his body. His blood was shed. But secondly, we're evaluating our own life. As a Christian, as a believer in Christ, am I following after him? Am I looking for wisdom from above? Am I kind of down here taking wisdom from below, getting all caught up in everything that's going on in this world and forgetting about where true wisdom comes? So I'm going to give you a few moments, just talk to the Lord, and then we'll observe together, partake together. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. He says, this is my body given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, this is the cup of my blood, the cup of the new covenant, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Please bow with me as I pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. I'm thankful, Lord, that you teach true wisdom in your word. I just pray for each one of us as we go into this week where we'll see many people, family, friends, and be around people in our community. I pray that we are truly wise and we take that wisdom from you, from above. That we realize the wisdom from below is foolishness. And you use us as agents of peace in our families, in our friend groups, amongst our church, at work, at school, in our community. So I'm thankful again for this day. In Jesus' name we pray.